This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
The mission of Zara Clothing is to lead and revolutionize the athleisure wear fashion industry by setting a new standard for eco-friendly, responsible, and sustainable practices. We believe in a future where fashion and the planet coexist harmoniously, and we are committed to making that vision a reality. Our commitment to sustainability begins with our innovative on-demand model. We produce clothing only when you, our valued customers, place orders. We eliminate the detrimental effects of overproduction that plague the fashion industry, reducing waste and minimizing our carbon footprint. Valeria interviews Nick Zellum. He is the founder of Zara Clothing, a trademarked brand that specializes in high-quality, sustainable athleisure wear for men and women. Nick was heavily influenced by his family's Eastern European and Russian heritage. He moved to Texas and acquired a business degree in entrepreneurship from Baylor University before embarking on a successful career in technology sales. Nick conceptualized Zara Clothing over 10 years ago and formally started the company in 2016. In his off time, Nick enjoys yoga, working out, kickboxing, DJing, and video DJing, and has been learning the Russian language the past few years. Meet Nick at zarclothing.com. Here is the interview with Nick Zellum.
In your own words, who is Nick Zellum?
Well, I think I'm a creative, stoic human being, really looking to live life to its fullest. And I hope throughout my life that I can not only give back to people, but hopefully leave the earth in a better shape than when I was while I'm here, and leave it for the next generation.
Oh, what's not to love about that answer? Yes, that vision, right? That's beautiful. And I guess my follow-up question is, how did you get to live this journey? How did you get here with this vision, with this way of thinking, living and working?
Well, my college degree is actually in entrepreneurship. My heritage is Eastern European, with some Russian and some other things. I certainly work out. I buy a lot of athleisure wear, and this is also a creative outlet for me. It allows me to basically have a creative outlet, really, it's exciting because there's a lot of challenges because you got to expect a lot of different problems. But I think part of the fun is it's almost like a game of checkers or chess. You have to move the parts, and sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes, and it's a learning experience. And so I think it's something that I can grow and build on.
Yes, yeah, so true. I love this perspective that we can learn and grow from challenges and see things going wrong as a way of improving ourselves and improving our environment. That's a beautiful way. And you mentioned stoicism. Does it come, some of that philosophy is actually part of your daily living and the way you perceive life?
It is. The last few years, I had some recommendations to start doing some meditation, affirmations, and stoicism. So I often read or find things to view, maybe on YouTube, that I can help and have some positive affirmations, and honestly be able to understand the world, and it also gives you some courage and some understanding of address and and learn from obstacles. And I think that's one of the give and takes. And I've incorporated a lot of stoicism into Czar Clothing.
Wow! Yeah, how wonderful! I love philosophy. I have been always very much interested in philosophy, and you went from stoicism, of course, Greek mythology, to spirituality, more Hinduism. But it's all connected, that's for sure.
Yes.
So, gosh, I have so many initial questions. Let me ask you another question about success. What is your views of success these days? What is to be successful from your perspective?
I think success is not only financial, although that is something that we certainly strive to be financial. But I think it's part of the journey. I think giving back, and I think some of the things that we do, we try to give back to the community. And I think helping other people, and as we find maybe financial success and business success, that we're able to contribute back and help people that are in more in need, that they could leverage or use some assistance. And I think that's and you look back that it's not just about financial, but it's also helping other people and bringing them up and helping them succeed.
Yeah, that's a beautiful answer to that question. Yeah, thank you for saying that. My next two questions are probably related to way you view success. Do you relate to your ideas of success to the purpose of life and happiness, or do you have other inputs there?
I do. I'm certainly a man of God, so I certainly pray. And I think, like I mentioned before, giving back to the community or helping other people that can use assistance and bringing them up, giving them a hand, just as if you were helping someone up on a ladder or helping someone outside of the pool, to give them a hand and help them.
Yes. Oh, wow. So they're all connected, right, Nick? Success, the purpose of life, happiness, and spirituality.
Yes.
They're not disconnected. I agree. My initial question, I know you said athleisure. I had to actually research the word, although I do wear clothes like that too, but I buy them. But I didn't know that this was actually a term. So for those who don't know, what is athleisure wear, if I pronounced that correctly?
Athleisure wear is really clothing that I think is generally less formal. More comfortable, and oftentimes it can be dressed up and down. It's most affiliated with like workout clothes, working out and comfortable clothing. But I think with some things, you can dress certain things up and down. For example, we have some dresses that you could wear with tennis shoes, or you could put on some heels and go out on the town.
Right. Yeah, I saw. I went to your website. It's beautiful, though. And you have clothing for women and men. So this is good information to disclose here, not just for women or for men, both.
Yes.
The pronunciation of your company is Czar Clothing. And I know you have two different sections on your website. One says Czar Clothing and the other one for women. Hopefully I'll get it. Czarina, is that how you pronounce it for women?
That's correct, yes.
Czarina. So Czarina. And then there's, for anyone listening to this, go to the podcast notes to see the spelling. There's a C before the Z. So you are the founder of Czar Clothing and Czarina Clothing. That's for women and men again. That's interesting. Like I said to you off record, and when we got in touch, I didn't have any idea about this, the on-demand model, any information about the fashion industry and how it works. So I have my guided questions here. And the initial one is about the on-demand model. How did you come across this idea and what is it?
Well, on-demand is really, when you take a look at our competition, many of them go out and they basically overproduce and then they sell 50, 60, 70%, and then the remainder ends up in a landfill. And I think with technology today, we're able to connect and work with certain manufacturers, design our clothing. So basically, instead of just producing and assuming that a certain percentage will be waste, today you put an order in and basically it's manufactured or made as the orders are made, so we're not overproducing. And I think the key is today with the technology and the supply chain, you can connect with software and communicate, create designs and communicate with the manufacturers to do that and basically shorten the supply chain. 25 years or 30 years ago, this is probably impossible. right? And there was a book a few years ago called Mass Customization, and that was a big influence on my thoughts of, if we connect and work with a number of manufacturers, we can create basically on demand and eliminate that creation of waste that's plaguing the fashion industry today.
Yes, you see, that's something that I didn't know. So I wonder why they are not catching up with this on-demand model, though I'm sure they are aware of the environmental issues that we have been having. So what do you think the reason is for them not adapting this on-demand model?
I think part of it is, you hear the term fast fashion, being able to come out with new different designs or different new clothing, and just to come out with that. And I think the thought process is really just the old standard is, we come up with a design, we produce X amount, assuming we're going to sell a certain percent, and the certain percent is going to be waste. I think also that a lot of them are stuck in a business model that they don't have a choice and they have to respond to that. Although you are seeing some companies like Polo, Ralph Lauren, Polo has a custom site, and I think Nike and a few others have, but still a majority of what they're making is in that older, overproduced model.
Wow. That's amazing, because it sounds like it would be beneficial for everyone, right, Nick, to adopt the on-demand model as a whole.
I think so. I mean, I think it would be beneficial. And I think they're, like I said, they're in a model that is probably difficult to change at this point. And they're slowly implementing it, where we're in an advantage. We could start out in that manner.
Right. Oh, I love that. And are you also planning to influence them somehow? Or how do you plan to do that? Because that would be wonderful to influence other companies.
Certainly. Well, I hope as we grow and our name becomes a little bit more common, that people, understand what we do, and hopefully it shows an influence. And honestly, I think as we grow, we will be able to, in essence, from a competition standpoint, flank them and really, I don't want to say call them out, but point out that, we're sustainable. That's our model. And everyone else is not as sustainable as we are. And hopefully that draws them into, taking more attention. And I think a lot of people are just looking at, well, we can cut, eliminate the waste, and we can, instead of having a half inch of waste, maybe we cut that down to a quarter. And certainly there are eco-friendly polyesters and eco-friendly fabrics and things like that. Everyone is just moving a little bit, but this model is, regardless of how you cut the fabric and how much waste you create when you cut, when you make your patterns, still what we're doing is unique. At the end of the day, there is no waste from what we're doing. So I think that's unique. And, we aim to, do some of those other things, have eco, friendly fabrics, and, cutting things efficiently, things like that. But I think with our model, especially when you look at, some of these very large companies that are producing, 5, 10, 20,000 shirts and hoodies, that adds up over time.
Ah, yes, I'm sure it does. Wow. What are some of the challenges for you navigating this on-demand model? That will be interesting to hear too. It's actually a process that it's really easy to adopt, or you have faced many challenges so far?
We've faced many challenges. I mean, it's finding the manufacturers that will work with us, allow us to create unique designs. Yeah. And then, there's certainly challenges when maybe they change their production model, or they change things or that they make available to us because maybe they're not selling as well. And so we have to make changes. And, for example, we were working with a manufacturer that they changed one of the swimsuits. And so I had a lot of media and a lot of designs based around a single swimsuit that we were using for designs. So I had to eliminate those off the website, and we had to find another vendor and basically recreate a number of swimsuits. But I think that's just business, and it's a learning process.
Yes, for sure it is. And that's why we have an intelligent brain, right? Problem solving brain. So I love this idea that we can use that to solve issues like this that can be beneficial, not just solve issues like the environmental problems we have, but create businesses, models that can be sustainable, can help Earth to do a better job in sustaining us actually as human beings. I have a question for you out of curiosity. So all the fabrics that are used to make clothing, do they all come from cutting trees, from the trees? always the source of the fabric of some fabrics actually found elsewhere apart from trees.
Certainly, I mean, there's different types of products, right? Polyester, nylon, those are synthetic. You have cotton, which is natural. I'm not sure what exactly comes from trees. They are finding unique ways. I mean, now there's bamboo, right? You can find some very creative ways. So there's a lot of different ways that you can create economic or eco-friendly fabrics, but leveraging different materials. And I think, again, technology certainly is an influence. And then there's certainly, you know, clothing. I know there's some shoe companies and things that use manufacture like plastics and things like that. And so leveraging things that would normally be waste and incorporating that back into fabric. And I think, you know, there's a number of different ways that you can leverage. And the manufacturers that we work with typically are using an eco-friendly, whether it's cotton, polyester, nylon, or spandex, or a combination of those.
Oh, I see. Yes. Gosh, yeah, that's so technical, it sounds to me. I'm just trying to kind of think about how the process is. So not all the fabrics, they come from trees. So you don't have to cut the trees. Okay, that's one. Another thing that comes to mind is the way we think as individuals that we need more clothing. Like I buy some clothes, but I use them. I use them many times, kind of over and over again. I try not to buy too many new clothes all the time for that reason too. Not just financially, but because I don't want to waste or impact the environment. So what is your suggestion or your advice to, as somebody who is in the industry of clothing and fashion, for individuals like myself and everybody listening to this, when it comes to consumption, would you advise them to consume less? I know it's almost like it's a contradiction because you want them to buy it. But yeah, I guess the question is the clothes that you produce, are they durable?
Yeah, the clothing that we use, our manufacturer, it's all very durable. You know, we certainly encourage people to, you know, plan appropriately what you plan on using. I think there's a statistic out there that says 30% of clothing that's manufactured is never even worn. And some of that's probably people that don't wear it. And then, you know, the overproduction. So I think people just need to plan appropriately. And then make sure that what they're wearing is, or what they're purchasing is going to fit, right? So that's one of the things that if it doesn't fit, you're not going to wear it, right? So I think you just need to make sure that it fits. And if it doesn't, you know, to make a decision quickly and turn it around and return it for a credit or the right size.
Yes, that's a very good advice. Yeah, at that level. And, you know, I wonder from the other aspect, which is the emotional, the mental aspect. And I have heard before that we buy emotionally, most of us, out of insecurities or from the sense of lack, that we are lacking something. So, you know, you're also a student of philosophy, which is wonderful, and a spiritual person, which is something that I treasure. What is your advice when it comes to buying, purchasing anything out of a place of, let's say, emotional imbalance or emotional pain? In a sense of comparison, there's a lot of that of, you know, problems with identity, and then we wanted to compare ourselves with others, and then we feel like wearing certain clothes or looking in a certain way, which has caused a lot of problems. So would you mind shedding some light on this topic?
On the emotion?
Yes, buying emotionally, yes.
Are you referring to impulse buying?
Yes, that very much would be the case.
Yeah, and because of our model, right, we're limited on the impulse buying to some degree. But I mean, the reason that people buy clothing typically is there's some type of emotional connection, right? I mean, think about Michael Jordan. He's an inspiration to everyone. He's magnificent, right? And I think that you look at what's an inspiration to you, and I think you affiliate that with yourself. So when you're in the gym, you're working out, you're running, that's an inspiration and you know, it aligns with some of your goals. But I think you know, just going out and buying emotionally and going on a shopping spree for, you know, not necessarily a good reason. I think it's just, you know, from a human being and making sure that we're doing the right thing from a sustainability to make sure that you're not really just overbuying, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you can only wear one thing, right? Or one outfit. Right. And so, I mean, do you have enough that when some are dirty, some are getting washed, that you can rotate and things like that? But don't overdo it, right? Be realistic on what you can use. And I think, and also, you try to wear the things that you have, the things you've already invested in, to the extent as much as you can, rather than just go out and impulse buy. I would certainly encourage people to think before they buy, and you may save some money in that, doing that.
Yes, right. That's a beautiful advice. Yes. I love how you come full circle with your message, with your mission to care for the environment, which basically means taking care of yourself and others. So putting this message out there, it's so fundamental to me. So thank you so much for being open to these questions, Nick.
Certainly.
Yeah. So it seems like I ran out of questions you on technicalities. Is there anything else that you would like to share on sustainable production of clothing, which I call KIND, creating this KIND future for sustainable fashion? So is there anything else that you can add that I actually missed asking you? Any questions that I didn't ask?
I would just, from a sustainability, when people do make a purchase, that maybe they research the vendor, the manufacturer. What are their goals? Do they align with sustainability? Are they responsible? And what exactly is it that they're doing to be responsible? So I would just do a little bit of research in that vendor and see if their mission statement in what they're doing from a sustainability aligns with what you feel is best for the environment and the future of the world.
Ah, yes, I love that. And what's the best way to do that? Would you say Google, or there is another way, better way to do it?
I mean, certainly fashion trade magazines. There's certainly a movement in organizations around sustainability. But yes, I would say people to Google, go to their website, look at their mission statement. Is it in their mission statement? Is it part of their brand to be sustainable? Or have they just ignored that and really focused on the profit and fast fashion? Because fast fashion is coming out with new things very often. And fast fashion gets a pretty bad reputation because there, to some degree, it's viewed as being irresponsible. And I think we can address fast fashion with what we do today with Zara Clothing, in the fact that we're not necessarily producing it, but what we can do is, in 10 minutes, I could typically create a new design for a hoodie or a shirt or some leggings or something like that. And we could basically have something up on the website and with the ability to sell it quickly, and then we can remove that and we can address fast fashion. But again, we're creating basically a virtual design, and we're not manufacturing it until it's purchased. So that's how we're addressing with fast fashion today, just being able to create that, put that on the website. And again, until you purchase it, it's not manufactured.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Would you mind disclosing some of the companies to stay away from, in the sense that they are actually hurting the environment and their mission, it's just to make money? Would you be able to do that? That would be helpful.
Sure. I mean, I would say your large manufacturers like Adidas and Nike, they're overproducing. And oftentimes you will see it like a discount store like a TJ Maxx or a Ross. You'll see a lot of their things because they've overproduced and they've been irresponsible. I think they're getting a lesson with the movement today, the fashion movement. But I would say those are probably one of the more prestigious companies that are very visible, that a lot of people ignore because there's a lot of emotion and appeal to Nike and Adidas, and so they can get away with it.
Ah, interesting. They use the word emotion, so the attachment, right? The identification with the brand, yes.
Right, and Michael Jordan, right, the emotion, I mean, he's an influence to me and an inspiration to me. So when I see their commercials and things like that, you can really relate to that because of all the things that he's done and accomplished. And he's just an incredible athlete, right? And so you appeal, it certainly appeals to that. And when you're working out, right, you want to have that motivation and that strength and that motivation, right, to while you're working out, and whether that's you doing yoga and just lifting some weights at the gym versus Michael Jordan doing the magnificent things he's done on the court.
Oh yes. What about his company? I know that they do produce. They do have shoes and all that. I don't buy. I think my husband bought some of his products. So are they environmentally conscious? since we're talking about him, Michael Jordan, his brand?
Sure.
Or they still need to look closer into this?
Well, I believe his agreements are with Nike. Is that correct? Or does he have his own brand?
I actually don't know.
I believe most of it's like licensed with him and the whole, because there's almost a whole different line, right? That's affiliated with Michael Jordan. And they have the icon with him holding the basketball, which you'll often see on hats and things like that. To some degree, I think they've done a little bit. But, again, they're still overproducing. And so they're contributing to the 92 million tons of waste that's created every year. They're still contributing to that.
Ah, that's sad to hear. So I didn't know, but that makes sense now that I recall this. Yeah, they are connected. So Michael Jordan's and his products is being sold by Nike, right? So they are togetherness. That's sad that he is an individual. He's not really aware of these things, or probably is and can't do much about it, which is even worse, right? In the sense that they have that much power and influence, but they can't really help when it comes to helping the environment.
Right. And I think their goal is to get things out fast and quick. So they just go ahead and produce, don't necessarily plan. And so they just produce, assuming that, hey, a certain percentage of this is never going to get worn and we'll probably end up in a landfill in the Atacama Desert or Africa or some country.
Wow. That's what they do too. They just, not just here in the United States, but they dispose them elsewhere. I didn't know about that. Wow, gosh, you just gave me a lot of information. You educated me a lot here. Amazing, Nick. Thank you so much for doing what you do, for being a model yourself as a person, as a business. And you see, that's what we need to see more too, the connection between the person and the business. It's one. Then it's not disconnected. We have to bring ourselves everywhere we go. And that's something that saddens me to see a lot of businesses disconnecting the heart and from everything else, from money. This is business. Well, but business affects everything. It's a business is something that can influence and can make an impact, a huge impact, in a good or not so good way, in a healthy or unhealthy way. So you bring in this topic very much to my attention, which is already here within what I do, but I don't do products. I don't sell products. So it's wonderful to see that you're doing that with the product. I do have some people doing products, selling products that I interview here, but it's more related to supplements and more somatic. So it's about taking these products to help with your mind, body. So, but I never seen this way in the fashion industry. That's very much needed. So thank you so much for the influence, the impact that you're making in our reality. Thank you.
Certainly. I think one of the other ways that we like to influence is with yoga, because we sponsor some areas where a couple areas in sports that we want to align with. And I think for on the men's side, mostly, we sponsor some MMA fighters, but on the women's side, or really men and women, yoga has been influential to my life the last 5 or 6 years. And so we sponsor yoga events. Obviously we make some yoga clothing, but I think yoga is not only great for the body and, as men like to go and lift weights, but yoga is fantastic for the mind, the ability to meditate. I think as a spiritual being, really just gives the full circle and your ability to improve yourself, not only from a physical, but the spiritual. And I think that's something that we like to align ourselves with. And I've sponsored and been a part of some yoga events and even sponsored different yoga events the last few years. And we're going to continue to do that because I think that's influential. And I think yoga helps people physically, but also mentally. And regardless of whether you're a salesperson or an astronaut or a podcaster or whatever, I think yoga can, because when I walk out of yoga, I feel like my mind's been clean, like a clean slate. And I think it's so influential. And I think that's something we love. We feel very good about being a part of.
Ah, that's wonderful to know. Yes, I did know that about you. I would have a whole, tons of questions for you on that. That's beautiful to know. Yes, yoga, the name means union. So yeah, it's connecting everything, all parts of us, right, without separation. So that's wonderful to know that you align yourself with that philosophy. Are there any shows coming up? And where would that be? Because that would be nice for the audience to know where you are.
Well, as far as yoga shows, I'm not aware of any that I'm affiliated, or I'm not affiliated with any in the upcoming time frame. I am sponsoring a couple MMA fighters. And so there's with Peak Fighting in Texas, we've been working with them and also sponsoring a couple fighters that are actually trained by Jameis McSweeney, who's a legendary MMA fighter. I am actually doing something this weekend that's a charity that I'm actually DJing, and we're actually contributing some clothes to their raffle. But it's an organization called Paws in the City, which is a fostering organization for dogs to help dogs find homes. So that's another way that I'm trying to give back to the community. And there is an event this weekend. And you can see on my Instagram, I've posted some things and to get tickets and things like that. But it's their annual, it's called Martinis for Mutts event, to basically raise money where the foster organization pays all the vet bills and the food. Mm-hmm. And really the people who foster really just house the dog, and all the expenses are paid for.
Wow, that's another beautiful action. Oh, I didn't know that either. So that's wonderful to know. Your Instagram will be here on the podcast notes as well for those interested. But I love what you're doing. So it's very conscious. You are on something here, a beautiful mission. Thank you so much, Nick, for being you. That's so wonderful to know. I mean, I had no idea that the fashion industry could be this conscious. I have heard about some things, but it just never came that close to me. So thank you so much for doing this, for being open.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate all the questions, and hopefully we can make an impact and make some positive impressions to some of your guests.
Yes, it will be shared here. So we're almost at the end. I do have an ending question for you, but before that, is there anything else that you've left unsaid, Nick? Something that you would like to add before I ask you my final question?
Well, we talked about stoicism, and I was just going to make a recommendation for people to get involved. But there's a book, and it's based off of Marcus Aurelius, called The Obstacle is the Way. Mm-hmm. And it really just talks about the things, the obstacles, the problems that you encounter. Those could be opportunities. There's two ways to look at the glass of water, right? It's half full or half empty. And obstacles basically can be turned around, and basically be things that you can turn around to make yourself better and make your company, yourself, your person better. And so, take a look at, and think that the obstacle is away. So when you see a problem, don't necessarily see it as a problem, but look at it as an opportunity. How can I benefit? How can I make myself better? How can I learn from this?
Yes. Ah, what a beautiful message. And I love how you go back here to philosophy. What if there's something to say at the end of an interview? Yeah, that says a lot. So thank you. That's beautiful. Yes.
You're welcome.
I absolutely agree. So I have the website here. So Czar, which is czarclothing.com. So I'll have this on the podcast notes. But my ending question, I'll ask this one. I usually ask this question to everyone, pretty much everyone. What three experiences you wish everyone to have before they lose the body, before they die?
Three experiences. What three? That's a tough question. What three experiences? I think, traveling is one. I think traveling and understanding other cultures is one. Helping others, I think, is the other. How can you help others? And I think I'm a person of God, and I think whether you're Buddhist or you're a Hindu or you're Muslim or a Christian or whatever, I think everyone needs to have some type of a spiritual type being that they can look up to and influence. And I think that needs to be incorporated into your life. So I would say that would probably be the final thing, and potentially the most important thing.
Mm, yes. Thank you so much for sharing wisdom, timeless wisdom from my perspective. That's how you make what you do whole. That's what I see. You bring in the person, the mind, body, and spirit into it. Thank you so much again for your presence, Nick. And we'll talk soon. We'll be in touch again.
Thank you very much for having me. You have a great rest of the week and a nice weekend.
Yes, you too. Bye for now, Nick.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Nick Zellum and his work, please visit czarclothing.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast.
Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.